Morning, everyone. Woo! On this eclipse eve, huh? Is everybody ready for the eclipse? Anybody going to see it? You got glasses? Oh, man, some of you don't. Got milk? Well, make sure you got glasses. I mean, I don't know if you've watched the news at all, but they're all worried we're all going to go blind next week. So let's be careful out there. I mean, some people travel from Texas to see the eclipse, so I mean, it's pretty amazing. Oh yeah, a bunch of people actually did. Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter. Mark chapter 6, if you have need a Bible, raise your hand good and high. One of these fine gentlemen will hand one to you. We're going to pick up in verse 30, where we left off last time. Mark chapter 6. If you'd allow me the privilege, I'd like to pray before we begin studying God's Word. Our gracious Father, we thank you that we can take any moment to pray. Any time throughout our day, we can stop, lift up a prayer, and know, Lord, that we have your ear. Know that you're attentive to our cries. And even as my wife so wonderfully said, there's probably so many needs in this room right now that you need to speak to. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I know you can speak to each and every one. Wherever they are, Lord, whatever aspect of life they find themselves in, whether they're struggling, whether things are going well, God, I just pray that you would let them know you are right there alongside them, that you're walking with them, that you understand what they're dealing with and what their future holds. And I pray, God, that you would just encourage them to not give up, to continue to trust in you and continue to cast their cares upon you. For you love them so unconditionally. I think that's something in the church today we must be reminded of, your love for us. And so God, as we come together, give us ears to hear and hearts to know your will, so that throughout this week we'd be able to accomplish your purposes, knowing that it's you doing the work through us. So bless this time as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I bet four people I ran into this morning, first thing they said, other than good morning, was, man, I'm tired. Boy, I'm tired. I could use some sleep. A lot of people you can look in their face and tell, drag them out of bed. It's just, we live in a culture, we live in a society where we're tired. Do you find yourself in that season in your life, tired? Life, work, play, church? All these responsibilities, all these things that we do. And even as my wife was praying that prayer, Lord, give them something that they can carry throughout the day so that you can use them. For some of us, it's like, oh, one more thing to do? I just need a break. I need to take a rest. I need some time off. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And if you're not in that place right now, praise God. But you want to know that this is the life that we live in. We live in a society that just keeps on moving, keeps on going, doesn't stop. And that three verses that we're going to look at today in Mark's gospel, in the very second verse, we're going to be in verse 31, Jesus is basically saying to his disciples, come aside by yourselves to a secluded place and rest. Just hearing that scripture, just reading that scripture for some of us, man, how encouraging that is to know that our Savior desires us to rest. But here's the thing. We must do the work before we can enjoy the rest. Amen? We must serve the Lord. We must be used by God. This is not a laziness. This is not God looking and go, oh, there you have nothing to do. Let me give you something to do. No, God's saying, listen, you've worked hard for me. You work hard, and we work hard in our lives today. And Jesus is there to tell us sometimes, stop for a little bit, take a little bit of a break, pause for a moment. Do we have opportunities to pause anymore in the life that we live? With all of these cell phones that go off telling us things are going on, all these text messages, all these emails, all these social media, we just are inundated, even in our quiet time, even in our still time, we find ourselves, what, grabbing for the phone. Let me search my... I have been fighting this week, trying not to pick up my cell phone. It is amazing to me how anytime I have a thought, I immediately want to search Google. I immediately want to know, what's the weather going to be like in the next 10 minutes? Let me check my weather app. It's like, look outside. It's sunny. It's nice. And it's like, even in our quietness, even in our times when we maybe get an opportunity to rest, we're not resting the mind. We're not resting in our hearts. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. When's the last time you were still? And if you're an expert at being still, you need to teach a class. You need to show this society what it is like to be still. Because these are the things that we're being overwhelmed with. And many of us in this room are going, I just can't wait to get to this afternoon so I can take my Sunday afternoon nap. Anybody take a Sunday afternoon nap? Yes, yes, I'm so happy of that. As a pastor, at 3 o'clock, you take a mandatory nap no matter where you are. It's like you just, out you go. Naps, we're missing those naps in the lives that we live today. I just want to catch you up, because in the Gospel of Mark, Mark starts a story, inserts another story, and then finishes a story. And what we're seeing is a finish of a story that Jesus started way back in verse 7, when Jesus said he sent out his apostles two by two. And it says in verse 7, he sends them out two by two, and he empowers them with the Holy Spirit. He empowers them to do that. And it's such a great reminder that when Jesus sends you to do something, he's going to empower you to do it. When Jesus tells you to go pray with someone, he's going to give you the words to pray. You don't have to worry. Jesus will equip you for the work that he wants for you. And then he goes on into verse 12, and it says the disciples, they went out and they preached the gospel. They preached his word. And so they were being fulfilled by teaching the scriptures, and they were teaching that people should repent. And then in verse 13, it says, and they cast out many demons, and they anointed people with oil and healed the sick. Ministry was happening for the apostles. And then we get that break, and then we talk about John the Baptist, and now we come back to verse 30, and we see what happens to these disciples. And when we read it, I want you to understand the heart of the apostles as they come back to Jesus. They're excited about what God did through them. They're excited about the work that they've done. And that's the excitement that we must have and enjoy the lives that God has given to us. Because listen, we do so much work within a week. We do so much work throughout Monday through Friday. If you have a 9-to-5 job, and even on weekends, you know, cutting the grass and doing all the things that we have to do to keep our houses nice, and whatever the thing, we're just busy people, aren't we? Busy people. I read a story about a first grade girl who noticed that her dad, every time he came home from work every day, with a suitcase full of work, and she looked at her mom and said, Mom, why does dad always have work to do? He says, oh, honey, well, he has so much work to do that he has to bring it home with him at night so that he can get it done. And the little girl looked at her mother and so wisely said, well, why don't they just put him in a slower group? And I was like, think about that for a minute. Sign me up for a slower group. It's like, where is the slower group? Where is this time where we can actually punch in at 9 o'clock, punch out at 5 o'clock, and come home? And be there for our families. I love the fact that the father's home, but he's got work to do, so he's not there. As far as I can remember, and my memory isn't that great, but my father was home at 5:30 every single day, and we ate dinner as a family, and we had family time. And little by little, it seems we've drifted away from that. Nobody has time to eat together. Nobody has time to be home at a certain time. There's so much to do. Listen, you know me, I love computers, I love gadgets, but they haven't helped us one bit. Actually, they've hurt us. Now there's just that much more of an expectation to accomplish things. Man, when I my first job, I was a draftsman, and I actually drew with ink on paper. It's like, no computer, no, it's like, you did it long for it. You made a mistake, you had to erase it. You know, it's like we're so used to technology and things that happen fast now. Can't you get it done? Go fast, fast, faster. We get overwhelmed. Listen, I've entitled today's message, Give Me a Break. Give me a break. Maybe all of us from time to time say to ourselves, Lord, just give me a break. Lord, just I need some time. I need to punch out. I need to just put the pause button. Wouldn't it be great if life had a pause button? Problem with life is it just keeps on going. No. We need to make sure that we're working within the context of our lives, and our work is overwhelming. I saw this quote by Charles Swindoll. We could put that up there. It says, we are often so caught up in our activities that we tend to worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. That so struck me this week. It's a sad statement, but it's a real statement, isn't it? Work, play, and worship. Those are really the three things that perhaps we do in our lives, those that believe in God, anyway. We go to work, we have leisure time, we have time off, hopefully the weekends we do things that we want, and then if we have any time left, we'll worship God. And I put this up there as a reminder for all of us. Where's our priority? Where's our focus? Listen, do you know that one-third of your day you sleep? Another third of your day or more you work? And that only leaves one-third of your day left for yourself and for the Lord. And when you put it in that kind of perspective, you have 8 hours to get God in there, to get leisure in there, and to do other activities. It's real easy to see how this statement can become real. That we work so hard, and then we want to have time off, and we do work hard to play, and then there's time left for God. I would encourage all of us as believers to try to turn this around, to really worship the Lord more, because that will enable us to do the other things more effectively. If we're putting God first, guess what? He'll take care of us. Again, I've been talking about gadgets and whatnot, and we all have devices. We have smartphones, we have tablets, we have computers. Many of us wear smart watches on our wrists, you know, Fitbits that constantly remind us, hey, time to go for a walk. My Apple Watch, every hour, reminds me, hey, it's time to stand up. It taps me on the shoulder and says, time to stand up and move a little for a minute. Now, you don't see it there, but if you scroll down, there's an opportunity to say, dismiss. I can ignore the reminder. Actually, there's an app on my phone that reminds me to breathe, which I just still don't get. It's like, have I not been breathing? I mean, I feel like I've been breathing. It's like, what's going on here? But this is my thought. It's like, our calendars on our phones remind us when we have to go to the doctor. Maybe go to the dentist. Maybe you put it on your calendar, excuse me, when to work out, when to exercise. It's amazing to me that we'll remind ourselves of all of these different things. But do we remind ourselves to think about God, to spend time with God, to think about things spiritually? See, this watch taps me on the wrist and says, time to stand, time to breathe. And I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit in my life is tapping me on the shoulder saying, take a break. Think of me. You're getting frustrated. You're getting aggravated. You're getting angry. It's time to get the right focus. I would encourage us all, if we can, in some way, put time on your schedule for the Lord. Because otherwise, it's work, it's play, and then what's ever left over, we get to God. Instead of putting God first. And because you probably experience the same thing. Life is so busy that at the end of the day, you're thinking, I really haven't spent any time with the Lord. I haven't really spent any time reading the scriptures. Maybe I read a devotion, or maybe I read one scripture, but did I really spend quality time with the Lord? And put it on your calendar. Make a reminder in your reminders app. Spend time. Because listen, if you don't take the time won't be there. It just won't be there. And those little breaks throughout the day. Think about if every hour you could spend a minute or two thinking about God, thinking about His Word, how much more encouraging, how much more strengthened you would be to be able to accomplish your purposes. That's the reality, my friends, is to have those reminders, have those times where we think, schedule your time with God or it'll never fit in. And make sure it's quality time. Make sure it's uninterrupted time. You know, mute the phones. Set time for the Lord. Because when it comes to time for give me a break, I feel like the Holy Spirit is constantly saying, it's time for a break. It's time to clock out. Time to take a pause. The greatest work the enemy can do is keep you so busy that you don't have time for the Lord. And that, my friends, in these days, is quite an easy job for him. Because there's so much that we can do. Look with me in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It says, then The apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. I just want us to think about these three verses this morning and throughout our week to really understand what's happening here in verse 30 as the apostles come back from this time of ministry. Could have been a day, could have been a week, who knows how long it was. But whatever it is, Jesus gets in their presence and he gets around the apostles. And I believe, when I read that, I believe that they're so excited about what happened. Because again, look what it says in verse 30 one more time. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things. As parents, don't you love it when your kids tell you what they did? Maybe at school or what happened in their day. Because Jesus already knows what they did, right? He empowered them to do it. But Jesus is just sitting there soaking it all up. They're telling them all the things that they accomplished, all the meetings that they had, all the people that they ran into. I can just hear the apostles going, "Jesus, you're not going to believe this. We walked up to a guy and we asked him if he wanted to be saved. And he didn't understand what that was. And we were able to explain it to him." It's those opportunities to do something. See, these are the two things that they did was they had work, they did works, the things that they had done. I believe that they were just meeting different people and engaging with different people. And then it says they also told them all the things that they taught. The teachings were the teachings of Jesus. You see, at the end of Jesus' life, he's going to give them the Great Commission, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I've shown you. They're fulfilling that great commission even now as Jesus is sending them out. It's so important to remember, though. The doing has to come before the teaching. Think about that. If we're going to effectively minister to someone or effectively lead someone to the Lord, we first have to do something. We have to be concerned about them. We first have to engage with that person before we can bring them teachings, before we can bring the word. Listen, the word of God is what does the work. But it's our job as disciples to till up the soil, to connect with people, to know what it is that's going on. Every day you have an opportunity to be used by the Lord, every day. In fact, it reminded me when we built the tables in Haiti. It was hot, it was January, it wasn't winter there, I can tell you that. It was hot, and we worked all day long, and I mean, tuckered out at the end of a day. But you know what? Building those tables and setting them in front of those kids and seeing their faces light up, wow, that just opened up the opportunity for us to minister Jesus to them. For them to ask Suzelle, "Why are all these white people coming here and building us tables?" And Suzelle can say, "Because they love the Lord and because they're concerned about you." It was amazing to me in just a week's time to see the transformation in those kids' lives. How at first they were like, "Who are these guys?" Staying away like we're diseased. To all of a sudden circling around us and loving on us and being a part of what the Lord was doing there. It has to start with the things that we do, guys. Whether it's building tables or whether it's sitting down and having coffee with a friend who's going through a difficult time. Whatever it is, opportunities to show the love of Christ. Opportunities to serve, to have that servant mentality. Whenever my wife and I go shopping, either the grocery store or the mall, we go there sometimes. Whenever we bring our cart out to our car and empty it, my wife always takes the cart back to the store. Even though there's a place to drop it, she always wants to walk it back. Now you might go, "Well, that's not that big of a deal." Listen, just that little act of service shows the condition of her heart, shows the attitude that she has to be able to do a very small thing that maybe someone else will witness. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you do a good deed, somebody else will do it as well? Somebody else will follow and go, "Look at that, someone's bringing back a cart." Because I'm telling you, several times my wife's walked the carpet and I've noticed someone else get out of their car and see my wife and grab a cart and walk it back. I mean, it's just nice things to do. It's having that servant's heart. It's doing things for somebody. Maybe you don't even know. How many of you go through the drive-thru at Starbucks? Anybody go to Starbucks? People are like, "Happy, you can, it's okay. Starbucks isn't evil." Anybody pull up to the window and the barista say, "The car in front of you paid your bill?" Anybody? There's one, two, three. That's pretty cool. What a blessing that is, right? All the times I go in the drive-thru, I've never had that. Never had it. But here's the thing. I try to do that whenever I feel the Lord tells me to. To really just, you know what, I'd like to pay for the order in the behind me. And some of you might think, well, don't you ask them what they ordered first? No, I don't. Because that's not right. You know, one of the baristas actually said, well, they ordered a lot. It's like, it's okay. Those are little things that we can do to bless somebody. And what I love about it is I can pull away before they know I did it. Before they can come and thank me. I don't want to be known. I don't think it's right. Oh, well, tell them, you know, Pastor Rob from Calvary Chapel bought their coffee. Just doesn't seem right. It's like there's an ulterior motive there, right? No, just bless someone and don't let them know. Or a little extra tip in a waitress or someone that's done a good service for you, but you also notice that there's something going on in their lives. I love to bless people in that way because I know that one little thing opens up an opportunity, especially when they know I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm blessed by the Lord. Those are the times that we get to serve God, not looking for the break in the work. No, we're looking to just be busy. God, use me. Because the break comes when Jesus says, hello? The break comes when Jesus says the break comes. See, we can't serve the Lord expecting anything in return. It needs to be selfish. It needs to be others-centered. And it's hard on the flesh, isn't it? Man, when you bless somebody and don't tell them, you're like, I wonder if they'll figure out who I was. I wonder if they'll text me. No. It's like, just bless them and let them thank the Lord for that. That's the reality, to be looking around and to be open to that. I know so many times where it's so hard to live our lives because we've got so many needs on our own. God, how are you going to meet my needs that we forget about the needs of others? But again, those little things. And maybe this week you'll push your grocery cart back to the store. A little thing. It's beginning to transform the way you think and the way you understand things. So before you get the break, you must do the work. Jesus understood this. See, Jesus said this in John 15, should be overhead. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You see the dependency upon God as the disciples were dependent upon Jesus to empower them to do the work? We are dependent upon Jesus. Apart from him we can do nothing. Listen, of eternal value. There's a lot that we can do. There's a lot of good things that we can do, but without the will of God and without the power of God, it has no eternal value. And Jesus understood that. Our dependency upon God is huge. And that's why I ask, does God get in there in your day? Does the Lord show up in your life? Is there times when you can stop and take a break? And begin to think about God. I don't know, do you get lunch breaks? You get times off? Maybe I'm aging myself a little bit too much, but I remember a time when you used to get two breaks and a lunch break during an 8-hour workday. Anybody old enough to remember that? Three of us, four of us. You went to work at 8, you got a break at 10 for 15 minutes, you took an hour lunch still, they didn't dock your lunch, and then at 3 o'clock, you got another 15-minute break. It basically was gossip time in the office. You know, you go grab a coffee, you go grab a snack, and everybody's standing around just talking. It was just checkout time. I believe it's those times where we take that break, at those times where we invite God to come in, that he strengthens us to be more effective in our work. Understand? More effective in our work. There was one time I worked for a company that didn't mind making you work a lot, and then literally I was awake for 61 hours. And I don't say that to brag. I just say that to say that was the deadline that we had at work. And the first 24-hour stint, I was getting ready to leave the office at like 11 p.m. And then one of the engineers came over and said, hey, can we just work on this one thing? Before I knew it, it was like 4 in the morning. And I had to be back there at 6 or 7 in the morning. I was like, well, why even bother? So I just kept on working. Did that through the whole next day. I think I fell asleep in my chair for 30 minutes. So maybe it wasn't 61 hours. But there sure was a lot of coffee. But that is the mentality in corporate America today. Work your people to death in order to make the deadline, instead of giving them the breaks that they need to be better employees. I would imagine in 61 hours, I probably made more mistakes than I've ever made in my entire career. It's not good for us. God designed us to rest. Wouldn't you agree? Seems like every day when the sun starts going down, I'm like, I need to go to bed. Our body wears out. Every single day we go to sleep, I hope we do. That's how God designed us. He didn't design us to just keep going and keep going and keep going, but that's the society that we live in. So as we serve, as we do, as we're being good stewards of God, as we're being used for Him, it's Him that says when to take the break. Because He knows exactly when we need the break. He knows exactly when you need to have that break. Not only did they do things, but they taught. They taught the Word of God. And I think it's important to see that again, that we have to have the works before we can share the Word of God. It opens up the opportunity for people to receive that. Again, verse 31, and He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. I love the fact that as these guys are sharing everything that's going on, everything that they had done, everything that they had taught, all the salvations maybe, all the people that they led to the Lord, whatever it is, Jesus didn't say, so how many did you get saved? And how many did you get saved? He didn't ask for an itinerary. That He just looked at them and He saw their condition. And He said, it's time for a break. It's time for a break. I think sometimes because of our society of putting burdens on our shoulders constantly, that we think Jesus does the same thing. That we think, oh, I just need to serve more. I just need to pray more. If I would just do more for the Lord, then my needs would be met. If I just did, that's a wrong mentality. As Christians, we need to be. We need to be in the place that God wants us to be. We need to be that Christian that God wants us to be, allowing us to be used as He sees fit. And when He sees that we get weary, and He sees when we put in the effort, He's going to say, okay, it's time for a break. And maybe this week, this will be a reminder for you. Just those two words. I want you to write them, come aside. Come aside. And I love the next two, by yourself. Anybody ever been by themselves? If you have kids, you probably haven't been by yourself. Come aside. And just get away is what He's saying. Break the routine. Break the mundane. This is something that you must do. And it's not easy, guys. It's not easy. I'm just like you. I try to get time with the Lord in every day. With all the responsibilities that I have, with all the responsibilities that you have, a lot of times it misses it. But we know the effects of having a solid, close, intimate relationship with Jesus, because that's what He wants. And the other thing I like to point out is that Jesus was more concerned about them than He was about what they did. Think about that for a minute. He's more concerned about you and your relationship with Him than anything that you can do for Him. Hey, He loves you to do things for Him. Don't get me wrong. But what He's more concerned is where your heart is, where your mind is, where your emotions are. That's what He cares about. I'm reading a book right now by a man who used to be a pastor. And he wrote this book. It's called Replenish. He's a pastor to pastors. He's trying to encourage pastors. And this is what he wrote at the end of his book. If I can get to it, here it is. He says this, I want to get to the finish line still in love with Jesus. Now, this doesn't just apply to pastors. This applies to Christians too. I want to get to the finish line still in love with Jesus, still in love with the church, and still in love being a Christian. With my head held high, with my dignity and honor still intact, I want to look back over my shoulder and say it was worth it. That's the ultimate goal at the end, guys. Again, we don't stand before God and Him say, you didn't save enough people. You didn't do enough things. Certainly, He blesses us and rewards us for the things that we've done in this life. But what He's more concerned about is well done, good and faithful servant. I've said this many times in my services. If there's anything you can do as a Christian, you can live your life faithfully. Period. God would rather you get to heaven being a faithful husband, a faithful wife, a faithful Christian, a faithful parent, a faithful worker, than anything that you can accomplish. Well done, faithful, so you are faithful to the end. I think that faithfulness is the priority. And resting comes in the midst of the work. What does rest mean to you? Think about that for a minute. What is rest? It's different for everybody. For some people, it's just sleeping. For some people, it's just sitting with a cup of coffee for an hour with no distractions. For some people, it's taking a vacation, getting away. What is rest to you? I know for some, vacation is not really rest. I've taken a lot of vacations where when I got back, I was like, I need a vacation. I did too much. If there's one thing other than faithfulness, it's knowing what God has called you to do specifically. I've been on many missions trips, and I enjoy them, I love them. I don't feel like that's my call, but I love going on them because it helps me get perspective and it helps me see other people truly putting their faith in action. But the reality is when it comes to a missions trip or some type of activity that you do for the Lord, be absolutely certain that God's called you to it. That it's not just a good idea. Like our Haiti missions trip, okay? You see the pictures, the kids, it's fun. You need to be called to it. You need to be making sure that the Lord has called you, because it's not just, hey, I'm going to go have fun. No, you're going to go and you're going to serve. You're going to work. It's going to take effort. And I don't like to broadcast this too much, but the good thing about a Haiti trip, after you work all week, sweat, hard, tired, sleep with bugs, spiders, where's Weldy? Spiders. Towards the end of the trip, you spend a day at the beach. And some of them go, oh, that doesn't seem right. It's a missions trip. See, there's times where you put in the work, you serve the Lord, and there's a time for a break. There's nothing wrong with that. See, if we have the mentality that we can't have breaks, if we have the mentality that I just got to keep on working, and listen, I understand the statement, you know, don't worry, we'll sleep when we're dead. God doesn't want dead, tired Christians that are so wore out and so fed up and so overwhelmed with life that they're just no good here. So there's nothing wrong with having that break. There's nothing wrong with taking some time for yourself. And I know for some of you, it's like, I don't know where I would get that. I don't know how I would find that time. Pastor RJ and I will babysit your kids if you'll do that, if you'll allow that, so that you can go have some time together. Do you mind I offered you that? We're good with kids. We just have to give them back. That's all. Don't let anything hinder you getting the time that you need in order to be the person that God's called you to be, to really, truly get that break. There's got to be people in your life that'll help you with this. Because I know we're all overwhelmed. I think of all the young moms that we have in here, just so tired, so wore out, so overwhelmed. And when they read a verse like this, come aside by yourselves and think, when, where, why? Not until my kids are 18 and out of the house. I know some of you are thinking, I've got kids over 18, they're still in the house. Listen. Jesus cares about you. He cares about the condition of your life, your heart, more than anything else. And yes, we're to serve the Lord and do it with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. But let us not forget that Jesus also said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. We must put God first. And that's not being weird. That's just saying, Lord, I have not spent time with you. I haven't thought about you. I am overwhelmed in my life. I need more of you in my life. No one can do it for you. No one can do your devotion for you. No one can pray prayers for you. You have to do it. You have to take the time. There's no such thing as make time. There's only so much time in a day. So you have to take time. So I wonder this week, when we get to that place, Lord, give me a break. Honestly, I think God will look right back at us and say, no, you give me a break. I think God will look at us and say, I think you're being too busy. I think you're trying to do too much. You're wearing yourself out where you're no good. So this week, ask God, can I get a break? Show me how to get that break. Show me how to get that rest. Someone prayed over my wife and I many years ago and prayed a prayer of, Lord, give them rest in the work. And that doesn't make sense unless you attribute it to God. Only God can allow us, our souls, to be at rest even at the work. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, he'll never give us more than we can handle. I feel like when we get wore down and overwhelmed, it's because we're doing things God has not called us to do. And that, my friends, is sin. It's sin. We might think, oh, my boss is happy that I'm working 12 hours a day. But is God happy? Is God happy? Take a break. Take a breath. I know it's not easy. And maybe this is the only break you get during the week. We're here every Sunday. You can come every week, spend an hour. Father, we thank you for your word today. And God, I pray that this verse would remind us all throughout the week of those times where we do need to stop, where we need to hit the pause button in some senses and just stop. Maybe feel that tap on our shoulders of the Holy Spirit saying, think about me. Turn your focus upon me. To truly listen to that still small voice that whispers in our ear, I am here. I am available. I can take this from you. We thank you that your word says, cast your cares upon me, for he cares for you. Lord, let us do that. Let us apply that principle to our week, to cast our cares upon you and to take those breaks on a regular basis. Help us, God, not to get so wore out that our bodies break down and that we end up sick. Lord, let us be strengthened by you, strengthened by your Spirit. Let us walk uprightly. Let us be faithful in what you've called us to do. And Lord, I also ask you to help us not to put our hands to anything you have not called us to. I feel like we have lost the word of no in the society. Sometimes we have to say no in order to get those breaks. To you be the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.